God will break you to promote you. He will break you to put you in position and break you to put you in the right place. When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace. Anybody in here been gracefully broken before? Thank you, Lord. So, Father, this morning we were broken before you. Thank you for holding us with grace. Just lift your hand and worship the Lord. All I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am and find my heart. On the altar again, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am and find my heart. On the altar again, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open. I'm right here, pouring out my heart, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands. In all that I am, you find my heart. Still, in awe of your name, you won't forsake me. You will fulfill your purpose in me. Here I am, God. Arms wide open, pouring out my heart, gracefully broken, all to Jesus now, all to Jesus now. I'm holding nothing back. I'm holding nothing back. I surrender. Yes, Lord. I surrender. Yes, Jesus. To your will and to your way, I surrender. Your power at work in me, I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me, I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Oh, to Jesus now. Oh, to Jesus now. I'm holding nothing back. I'm holding nothing back. I surrender. Thank you.
Well, it's a blessing to be here with you this morning, and it's a blessing that Brother Tommy's doing a lot better. He hopes to leave the rehab on Tuesday and go home. So I'm thankful for that. And now that Brenda's out of the room, we can talk about her and Brother Tommy. If you have your email linked up with Brother Phil's email, you have probably received our request to be a help to Brother Tommy and to Miss Brenda at Christmas time. And when that was sent out, it was we didn't know about what was happening with all these doctor bills. And they're up there, as you know. If you've been to the doctor or to the hospital, it costs a lot, and they don't have insurance. So any of you that were teetering on whether or not you wanted to participate by helping out with a healthy Christmas gift for Brother Tommy and Miss Brenda, I hope and pray that you decide to go ahead and jump right on the wagon with us to be a blessing to our pastor. Not just because we love him and appreciate him, but because they do have a need, a financial need. And so please consider that if you haven't already. Those of you that have, we thank you and appreciate your generosity. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Talking about faithful generosity. We're going to read the first seven verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you have brought us here to this passage this morning, and I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would please help me to say only the things that I should, so that your message is delivered to your people. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to set the stage here, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians pretty much as a rebuke to the church there in Corinth. They were doing things they shouldn't be doing, allowing things they shouldn't be allowing, and it was contrary to what God wanted. So Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to straighten them out. Okay, you with me? Now, a year later, he writes 2 Corinthians. And he does that not to continue to rebuke them, but to commend them. Because they're doing good. They're doing real good. In fact, in these verses that you just heard, we were reading, he does that. He literally comes out and commends them. But what he does, he wanted to point one thing out. In fact, if you look at verse 7, he says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." What's he talking about? The first several things that he says in this verse is, you're doing real good. You're doing good. You're knowledgeable. You have great faith. You have great ability to teach. That's what he's talking about when he uses the word utterance. He says you're diligent in your Christian walk. You're extremely loving. Then he says, but there's one thing that you're lacking in. And I want you to see to it that you abound in this one thing too. What's he talking about? He's talking about their giving. He is not talking about tithing. You can go to other sections of the Bible and see very clearly that God wants us to give 10% of our increase. But this is not what he's talking about here. This church of Macedonia, Paul commends them because of their offering, the money that they give over and above the tithe. Some people would call this missionary giving, others money. Some people have called it faith promise. How many of you ever heard that term in churches? Faith promise. Okay. giving to missionaries, giving to needy people. This is over and above our tithing. Okay. The church of Macedonia had excelled in this area, and that's what Paul is talking about here in verse 7 when he's praising the church of Corinth for all these areas of duty and service that they're doing for God's honor and glory, but they're failing in this one particular area of giving. And he uses the church of Macedonia as an example as to what the church of Corinth ought to be doing. Okay, and that's important. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. It says, "Moreover, brethren," he's talking to the church of Corinth here, "we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." How? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These people, the church of Macedonia, were being persecuted. Today, you might get frowned on if you tell somebody that you're a Christian. That might be the extent of our persecution. In Macedonia, it wasn't like that. In Macedonia, and not just in Macedonia, but all over the land, you could lose your job for naming the name of Jesus. You could lose your life for naming the name of Jesus. You could be beaten. Remember, Paul said that he was beaten 3 times with the cat of 9 tails. He even said that it was 39 stripes each time. It was because he named the name of Jesus. The people in Macedonia were suffering greatly because they were Christians, because they believed in Jesus. That's what it's talking about when it says they were greatly afflicted. The gardens that they planted would get robbed or destroyed. This was happening over and over and over. Because of this, they were also in deep poverty. What is deep poverty? In our minds, that might mean living paycheck to paycheck. Right? Maybe seldom being able to go out to eat. We might call that deep poverty. Barely being able to pay our bills. Never having money left over after paying our bills. That might be what we call deep poverty. But if you want to get a good picture of what deep poverty is, fly to Haiti. Walk down the streets of a city where people have some potatoes, maybe some mangoes, maybe some little piece of art that they made. They carved it out of wood and they're trying to sell it so they can buy some food. You follow that person back to their house, and it's not a house. It's barely a shed. In fact, it might even be a few sticks that's holding up a blue tarp that they've tied around these sticks just to keep a little bit of the dew off of them at night. They don't have a job. They don't even have an income. That's deep poverty. We don't know what deep poverty is. But the Apostle Paul said here in verse 2 that in their affliction, in other words, while they're being beaten, while their farm or their garden is being ransacked, while they have no job, they're selling little things here and there to make 50 cents or a quarter or something like that, while in that predicament, get this, they are saving part of that to send to Paul. That's where the Macedonian Christians were. Somehow, they found a way to put a penny or 2 pennies or 5 cents or something in a sock somewhere and save it so that when the time came, they could take it all together and send it to Paul, their missionary, that guy who came to their church and very possibly started their church. How do they do that? The Bible says in verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." To their power or their ability or means, this term they gave of their means is actually a term used in law. Many times it's used in many cases, but in some cases it's used to describe what a divorced husband is going to give to his ex-wife to take care of her and their children. And how he's going to do that. And what today we call that alimony. And what the judge will tell him to do is, you're going to give a percentage of your income to this lady. So get the picture. He's talking about a percentage, a set amount. In other words, these people, again, may not have had a job, many of them. Some of them probably did. But none of them made a lot of money because they were in deep poverty. So what they did was they took and they did the math and they figured, okay, today or this week we made this much money and we're going to give 2% or 5% or maybe 10%. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. But they decided to give a certain amount to their missionary who was Paul. In other words, I'm going to use a word you might not like. They budgeted. They budgeted a certain percentage of their income, small as it may be, so that they could give something to Paul. In verse 7, as Paul is praising the Corinthians, at the end he says, "See that ye abound in this grace also." Remember, he told them, "You're doing a real good job here and here and here. Even your love for me is great. Thank you. But see that you work on this too." That's what he's saying. There's another important factor that we need to consider. Look in verse 5. It says here, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first." In other words, before they started giving, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. I find this interesting. Because before they gave their money, they gave themselves to God. In other words, they totally submitted to God. We sing a song here in church sometimes, "I surrender all." Sadly, sometimes we're lying while singing it. Because when your heart is right with God, your wallet will be too. There's something about a tug that God puts inside the heart of a surrendered soul to want to give and be generous and to be faithful at it. Faithful meaning systematic. These Macedonian Christians were not heavy givers. They didn't give of their abundance because there was no abundance. Remember Jesus, he praised the widow that gave the two mites. He sat there and he watched the Pharisees as they came and dumped in these bags full of silver and gold worth thousands of dollars. And he just sat there. And then he watched this widow come in over here and very humbly just dropped two mites. Wasn't even worth a penny. And he said, "Look, this widow hath given more than everybody else." Why? The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. That means a giver that gives because they're happy to give, not out of obligation. I've got to do that. If I don't, somebody's going to call me. God doesn't like that. He likes it when we give because we want to give. He likes it because when we give because we have that tug that the Holy Spirit is putting on our heart. This past week, I was listening to the radio, and this guy was giving his testimony. He said, I got saved, and I got saved on a Sunday night. And I went home that night, and I was listening to the wrong kinds of music. He said, back then, we had cassettes. How many of you remember cassettes? The little square things, right? He said, I had a lot of them, of the wrong kinds of music. And I went home that night, and something in me just said, I need to put all of them in a trash bag and put it out in the trash can tomorrow, because the trash runs tomorrow, and I got to get rid of this stuff. Amen. The guy that was interviewing him said, well, who told you to do that? He said, nobody did. I just felt in my heart that I needed to do that. And he said, later I found out that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit tells us to set some money aside also. But sometimes we don't do that. Why? Many different reasons, I'm sure. But the Pharisees, they gave large money. God's not impressed with how much we give. Remember, He owns it all. I mean, you could give everything you have, and that would just be one grain of sand on what He owns. It don't impress Him. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that the strength of the horse doesn't impress God. He made the horse. The strength of the legs of a man to be able to squat 800 pounds. You and I look at that and go, wow. God says, but you know what God does take notice of? You know what makes His eyebrows go up? When that widow comes in and she drops everything she had out of love for Him. Amen. What gets God's attention is a broken and a contrite heart. God is impressed when we choose to love Him. Because God controls all things except our will. And when we choose to obey Him and obey His word, to be more specific, to obey what we've just read right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That gets His attention. Again, it's not the amount. It's the desire, the heart. The Macedonian church, they didn't give of their abundance. They didn't wait to the end and say, all right, well, we got 10 bucks left, so let's send this over to Paul. No, they were sitting down with their money and they said, all right, we got to give 2% of this to Paul. Let's go ahead and separate it out. And 10% goes to the church. And this here needs to go to our food. And this here needs to go to our taxes. Yeah, they paid taxes back then. And this here goes to this, and this goes to that. But they set it aside every week. Paul praised them for that and told the Corinthians, who was doing real good in a lot of areas, you need to work on this. Faithful generosity in one area demands saying no in another area. Especially if you're not a high income earner. None of us are in extreme poverty. All of us can do what God is telling us right here. All of us can sit down at the end of the week and look at our income and say, you know what? Why don't we start giving to our missionary? 1% of our income. 2%. That's not much. We spend more than that on junk food and live streaming and movies and popcorn and all kinds of other things. Why don't we start giving to our missionaries? You can't outgive God. The more you give to people that are in need, the more God's going to give to you so that you can continue to give to people that are in need. God gives so we can get, so we can continue to give. He may not have been giving you so much because you weren't given a whole lot. That can change. Remember, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not suffering for money. If we are, it might be because we're not given the way we ought to be given. So I want to encourage you to set up a systematic giving plan. Again, that dirty word, budget, may help us with that. Over and above your tithe to our missionaries. I do want to tell you that this sermon that I've been working on for some time now, in fact, actually began starting this preparation before I even knew that this man would be in our service today. So that's not why I'm talking about this today. I have been to his house. Corey's been to his house. Jenny and Vicky, Brother Tommy has been to his house and seen many of the churches and seen exactly what's going on over there. You can't give to a better cause. When you and I invest in eternity, the rewards are eternal. When we invest in material things, that's eventually going to dry up and then burn up. But when you and I invest in eternal things, which is the soul of man, God's going to bless. Amen. He will. I would love to see us as a church to be able to give a lot more than what we do to the work in Haiti. So pray about that. That's my challenge to you today. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for showing us how that this church in Macedonia, even in their affliction and their deep poverty, showed their love for the Apostle Paul in such a way that challenges us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do your will. Help us to obey your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to... I'm sorry. Page 272. Only trust him. Thank you for coming today. I appreciate it. I'm thankful to God that we have a lot to be thankful for. We have we're grateful that Brother Tommy's doing better. We're grateful that he may have opportunity, Lord willing, to go home on Tuesday. We're grateful to have Brother Casimir with us today in our service. Continue to pray for him, and we would appreciate that. Brother Casimir, would you lead us in our closing prayer, please?
Dear Father God, thank you so much for the wonderful service you give to us. Thank you for the time we bear fellowship together. And Lord, let us be like you want us to be, where you want us to be.
Amen.
Use us as your instrument and to do your will, to do what you want to get done on earth.
Yes.
And bless our service, bless your people, and guide them, protect them against the enemy, and bless the day and the service tonight. Thank you for what you told me, and Brenda, thank you for the Kemp family, Whitehead family.
Amen.
Thank you so much for all the church family. Lord, be together and bless them, protect them. In Jesus' name we pray you. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.